You guys know him quite well. We haven't had him on in quite some time, but I'm excited to welcome to the show now Jason Ruff, Director of Broadcasting and Media Relations for the Odessa Jackalopes. He is the play-by-play guy for the Jackalopes in the world of hockey. And Jason, for our listeners out there that may have been like me when you got this gig and announced it here on Current Sports, Jackalope is not real, right, Jason?
No, it's not real, and I'm actually surprised you're making me sound like I'm someone important now.
Oh, stop it, man.
Give me all these fancy titles and whatnot.
This is what happens when you're in the game for a while now, man. You've been doing this and doing a great job from what I can tell on social media, my man. But just kind of put in perspective what this ride has been like for you, how you've grown as a broadcaster in this role. What has this journey been like for you, man?
It's been a journey of experiences, you know, from going on the bus trips to learning how to interact with the players to dealing with certain situations both on and off the ice. It's really grown, and it's really been a learning experience and really a crash course in how to be a professional broadcaster. College can only prepare you so much. It's different when you are living and breathing this every single day, and you got games every single week, and you got to be ready to prep every single week, and you only have so much time. So, I mean, it's really been a crash course. I'm really thankful for this first year and really looking forward to see what the future brings moving forward.
I'm wondering, you know, when you look back at your days in college, and for those who don't know, Jason was also a part of the Big Ten Network Student U, and he did call games for the Student U broadcast for Michigan State hockey, and ended up getting this job after he graduated with the North American Hockey League, the Odessa Jackalopes, a Tier 2 junior ice hockey team. Looking back, Jason, in what area have you grown the most as a play-by-play broadcaster for the world of hockey?
Yeah, from this year, you mean?
From this year, yeah. Well, from college on to now. I mean, how have you grown? Okay. In what area have you grown the most?
Really, really, I think it's how descriptive I am in terms of calling the play and also dealing with other people, because it's easy in college. In BTN, you're dealing with a lot of other people. You're dealing with certain broadcasts. You have production meetings. You have this, you have that. A similar thing here, because I do a simulcast. We broadcast our games on our radio station here, Classic Rock 102, shout out, and also online at hockeytv.com. So there's a lot of coordination, both in terms of the people who manage the website and the people who manage the radio station here. I'm incredibly fortunate and blessed to have a wonderful relationship with the folks here at with our local radio station. I love going in just talking with them or doing work with them. And I also have a good relationship with our people over in Canada who manages the website, and talk to them a lot if we ever have a technical issue. And I'm also really fortunate that the fan reception has been phenomenal. I'll tell you a quick story. I was flying back to Chicago just for a weekend. We had a couple days off, and I managed to take Friday off, come back home to Chicago for a few days. I'm on the flight from Odessa to Dallas to get my connecting flight to Chicago. And I'm sitting next to an individual who, like many people here in West Texas, works on the oil rigs, works welding, works on the oil rigs. And we were talking about, oh, so what do you do? He's like, oh, yeah, I work on the oil rig. I welding. He's like, oh, I work for the hockey team. And he says, oh, yeah, I listen to those radio broadcasts all the time, listen to classic rock, and they have the rate, and they bring on the hockey team, and I'm just sitting there, and I listen to it while I do my paperwork and stuff. I said, really? Because that's me on the radio. It's like, no kidding. So, and he expressed like how much he enjoyed the broadcast, how much he loved listening. And I also know for a fact, I'm happy to say that our listenership has grown on Friday and Saturday nights this year as opposed to last year. So it's really like those kind of moments and you know, meeting parents of players who are just so happy, who listen to the broadcast, both here in America and in Europe. Like, we had a couple European players come up and tell me, like, my parents don't understand a word you're saying, but they love listening to the broadcast every single day, every single game in Europe.
That makes it
great.
That makes it really worthwhile, right? When you know that you're having that kind of impact on your listenership, that is awesome stuff. And I want to go back to your, you know, the first answer that you had during that first question. You hinted on dealing with certain, quote, situations. What situations are you referring to, Jason? I'm curious.
Oh, you know, just, you know, if the game's going the wrong way, and how measured can you be? Because you're the hometown broadcaster, but at the same time, you got to keep a certain level of decorum. and stuff like that. You know, there were some times during the season where it was incredibly frustrating, and there were some calls that were a little bit iffy and whatnot, and some other stuff that happened. You know, players don't like if you call them out saying, you know, that's not a good thing. Players on the opposing team, I'm talking about. If you know, that's not how you play the game or whatnot. And so just certain things and just growing on that, learning where you can say where it maybe is a line too far and really growing more as a broadcaster.
I got to ask this question because I feel like every young broadcaster has a moment or moments when they're first starting off, and I call them nightmare moments, when things just aren't going right and you look back and say, oh my gosh, did that really happen? Then you look back, you know, maybe an hour or two or maybe a day or a week or even maybe a year, and you say, well, that really wasn't that bad. For me, it was when I was at Channel 6 News at WLNS TV 6 and my teleprompter went out during the fifth quarter broadcast on a Friday night, and that was pretty nightmarish for me. Have you had a moment like that, Jason?
Oh, my gosh, Al. So we've had some issues with our equipment this year where it would lose connection. We have a very old tie-line machine that works via phone connection, and some of the connections are not very reliable. And sometimes my call back to the radio station will drop in the middle of a broadcast, and I've just got to be frantically trying to get it back. Well, at the same time, still trying to call the game because we still have the internet TV that's still going live. It got so bad one time where my boss just called me up during the second intermission and said, axe the radio broadcast for the entire weekend. Just stick with the video TV. And I was just super, super upset and that we had to do that because, you know, that you're basically saying we can't give it to our local listeners and our local fans. Those are our heart and soul fan base here.
Right.
And it really just cut me off. And, you know, looking back on it, it wasn't that big of a deal. We figured out the problem. We're going to correct it in the off season. We're going to be upgrading the equipment to make sure this doesn't happen again. But, you know, it's just some of those moments you're like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it's one of those. I forget who told me this. You're always going to have one of those moments as a broadcaster, whether you do sports, news, whatever. It's going to be like, well, mother always said these days are going to happen. It's one of those days.
Yeah.
It's one of those days. And I can't for the life of me remember who told me.
I told you that, Jason. You forgot, huh? Yeah, well.
That's when
the moment of Fred Heumann and I, we were on the air, and that's the moment when my prompter went out.
You're right.
Fred just stares at the camera and says, you know, my mother told me there would be days
that
like
was
this.
That's right.
The video began. That was video of Derek Nix at the time. So, yeah, I told you that story. So
that's right.
Yeah, Mama told us it wasn't always going to be easy.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
As we come up here on the end of the hour, Jason, I do want to get your thoughts on the NHL playoffs. Just you know, broad thoughts, and so you can educate me on the NHL because, you know, I'm not a big hockey guy. I start to hone in a bit during this time of the year, and it's getting really interesting because I know that one Game 7 matchup is on the way in the second round, and there may be more to come. Your thoughts on what you've seen in the playoffs so far?
Well, that Game 7 is going to be Dallas versus St. Louis, and that has obviously a lot of people here in West Texas they're going to have their eyes glued to that one. You know, it's been kind of crazy with that one. You know, Dallas had a chance to close it out. St. Louis came back and forced 7, so we'll see what happens there. Colorado, San Jose has the lead in that one. It's kind of been going back and forth, San Jose, then Colorado. Will Colorado force Game 7? Perhaps. I could honestly see that. They're back in Denver. I could see that one going Game 7. I think Boston, Columbus is going to be a toss-up, but I think Boston will come out of that one. Honestly, though, the big team that's been the shocker has been Carolina. Under first-year head coach Rod Brindamore, also Michigan State alum, just to put that out there for you.
Yeah, the Hurricanes are hot right now. We touched on this on Friday's show. They are really rolling, right?
They are rolling right now, and frankly, you know, Don Cherry may call me a bandwagon for this, but I don't care. I'm rolling now with Carolina if either Dallas or Colorado can't get it done. I'm rolling with Carolina. I like them. I don't see really anyone in the West aside maybe San Jose that could take them out in a Stanley Cup final. I just Carolina has the mojo right now. Rod Brindamore's got them going in the right direction. He's already won one Stanley Cup with the Hurricanes as a player. I would love to see him win another as a head coach.
All right, and also, Jason, before we get you out of here, you do have some hockey news that you college hockey news, excuse me. Of course, you got hockey news.
College hockey news. Some rumblings here. A couple of tweets. First by Joe Maloney of College Hockey News senior reporter, basically saying, per Big Ten source, the conference recently instructed teams not to schedule non-conference games for the 2021-22 season and beyond, likely to allow the league time to figure out the new conference format with University of Illinois' D1 elevation gaining momentum. Then a few minutes later, U.S. College Hockey tweeted out that the University of Illinois, along with officials from the NHL and the NCAA ice hockey, are holding an event Tuesday, May 14th at the Big Ten headquarters in Rosemont, Illinois. So taking those two tweets together, I would say that at some point this calendar year, could be this month, that there will be an announcement that the University of Illinois will be having a Division I college hockey program, thus bringing the Big Ten Hockey Conference up to a much-needed 8-team conference format.
All right. We'll see if that comes to fruition, man. And Jason, we got to have you back on as well, especially when the Stanley Cup finals get underway. I definitely want to have you on to break down things. But keep up the outstanding work down in Texas, my man. And I'm sure my listeners will be listening, dude.
For sure. I'll give you a call later this afternoon, and we'll catch up on a more personal basis, my friend.
You are the man. Awesome. Thank you so much, Jason. Appreciate it, dude.
Take it easy, Al. Thanks for having me on.
You got it, man.